If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Make it make sense.
With Ayanda Nyati.
Ayanda, make it make sense. Uchulula beka chola no bandi.
Hey, I can see gate.
Yeah, don't enter. Don't enter it, my friend. Save yourself from the drama. So we've got drive moment today, which is replaced by make it make sense. And we're talking electricity.
Yes.
You know, I'm not going to talk a lot on this particular one.
So we saw the minister on TV, and I'm like, okay, everyone is back at work now.
Michael Kors.
And John, everyone is back at work. Yes. I'm like, okay, what's happening now? Because people are crying in this bind in this case. And they're using big words like, as I say, load shading. So we load reduction. What's happening, Joe?
Yeah. Okay, so you're right. The first update from the electricity minister came through today. He always gives us a sense of where we are with implementing the energy action plan.
Update,
this is this grand plan to turn Eskom around. So he did that in the last administration, for the seventh administration. And I want us to just start by hearing from an energy sector specialist. Her name is Khoshe Molese. She spoke to us and tried to break down where we are insofar as pushing back against load shedding. We've passed the 100-day mark, and she has this response around why.
Hi, Drive 959 listeners. My name is Khoshe Molese, an energy sector specialist. I'm addressing the question of why we have 100 days of no load shedding. You would recall that about 18 months ago, Eskom brought in a new competent board that set about focusing on increasing the maintenance of the coal-fired power plants, which were mainly breaking down regularly. And we have seen since then a gradual improvement in their performance, such that about 3 units in Kusile coal-fired power plants have been brought back and they are performing. These are equivalent to almost 2 stages of load shedding. We have also brought back one of the nuclear units, Kubek, and all of these plants are now performing much better than they were in the past. And this has led to an improvement. And as a result, diesel is used for emergency. It's now not required at this stage because of the performance of the plants that are no longer breaking down at different stages.
All right. So if Eskom was a car, the reason why we had load shedding is because the car wasn't being maintained and it was falling apart quite literally.
Mm.
The long and the short of it is that we've finally gotten around to fixing the parts that need to be fixed. And it's not perfect, so we can't drive down to KZN just yet.
So much here like Kempton Park.
But at least it's going to get Kempton Park, know, and be guaranteed that we'll be safe. And, you know, units are coming back online. We have fewer unplanned breakdowns. That's essentially things breaking down without us knowing why. And there's other interventions as well, like the renewables, et cetera, et cetera. Now, when it comes to differentiating between load shedding and load reduction, this is what the minister says is our new problem. Load shedding comes from Eskom, where we aren't able to generate enough power to meet everyone's demands. Load reduction is actually not a generation issue. We finally gotten to a point where we can generate enough power, but the infrastructure to move that power from Eskom to municipalities and finally to your home is now buckling. And that's what he reckons, the minister, is going to be the new issue as we count down to the months ahead.
So when you say it's not an Eskom issue and it's like a municipality issue, who's supposed to be maintaining Eskom infrastructure in communities? Is it not still Eskom?
So it's not Eskom infrastructure. That's the thing. It's the municipality's infrastructure. So constitutionally speaking, the lines of demarcation are actually very clear around how far Eskom itself can go. The only reason why Eskom is in some municipalities is because there's been a lag in implementing that law, actually, where the municipality has eventually said, look, we can't get around to it, so please step in. However, that said, the electricity minister today said they can't just fold their arms and say, just because this belongs to the municipality, we're not going to do anything about it. So for the communities that are saddled with load reduction, word from the minister is they're aware of it at a high level and are now starting to step in those municipalities to try assist in order to fix that issue.
So, yeah, I'm also one of the people who are really concerned about municipalities. And I think most of them are really not responsible doing what they're meant to be doing, i.e. now I can owe Eskom 25 million rand without anyone taking action.
Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
And you ask yourself the question, these are people who get paid every month to make sure that we pay for electricity. But how do you then go to work every day and you get your salary, knowing very well that there's a couple of people, a couple of businesses that owe millions and millions of money to Eskom and to the municipalities? How are we going to survive? How are we going to maintain the infrastructure?
Yeah, absolutely. It's becoming an ancient old problem, actually. Revenue collection, we know in the city, has also been a big issue. A lot of people and businesses are using power that they're simply not paying for. But it just speaks to poor governance, right? Mm. There needs to be somebody who is hopefully coming to work, and top of their list is making sure that all the transformers are working properly and the distribution lines aren't being snatched off somewhere or the other. And that's simply not happening. And so even if our power stations are finally coming around to working as efficiently as they should be, and that's certainly the step in which we're headed, the irony is that power still cannot get to people's homes because, if you like, the channel through which it passes isn't working as it should.
Well, we still are on the electricity issue. I didn't hear anything from the minister about my illegal connections, because that is another problem that we are facing.
Oh, yeah.
When we're saying that we need to have a power reduction or whatever they want to call it now. But Laban Lava that have connected illegally, they're always on, eh?
Yeah.
They are always on all the time.
Yeah, and in many instances are not affected by the tariff.
No, they don't know.
So they're not even aware of that. But yeah, it's a good point.
And I suppose it even becomes more difficult for people that collect, hey, when they can't even get the power. So I can imagine going to a community where they have been struggling and they're on that load reduction program, so to speak. And now you're saying to them, pay up. That would be an even bigger mountain to climb, because these people are not getting the service. So
precisely,
you can't even like put your foot down and say, pay for electricity, but which electricity?
Which one?
That's nine.
Which takes us back to the initial problem, right? So people don't want to pay. Because they don't want to pay, they claim they can't maintain. Because they can't maintain, they don't get power. And therefore people don't want to pay.
And so you have those who want to pay, a flat rate.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Yeah. We with them, a washing machine, a stove, a heater.
And there are people who are renting at the back.
Yes.
10 rooms at the back.
250 rand a month. Okay, thank you, I understand.
Leave a comment. WhatsApp 063-688-0959.
Let's do one voice note before the headlines.
Hi, Drive 959 team. I just wanted to say thank you so much for Ayanda's feature. He just breaks down so beautifully anything that's going around in the country, in the news bulletins, in the presidency, whether it be politics, it be electricity, it be anything that is highly informative and that concerns us citizens. We thoroughly love your feature.
Yo, I have had it with this electricity situation. I think last week one of my bosses asked me to report an incident of a substation being actually vandalized in our area. And it's like, you know what? This is going to cost us a lot of money. So report it. And on the other side, it is a location vibes where there is no electricity. The capacity, we don't. I mean, infrastructurally, we are screwed. Kuningi.com. Without electricity, guys, I mean, I moved to the suburbs, you know, whenever there's no electricity in Soweto. But it is time consuming. I can't do this anymore. I can't wait to leave the country, girls.
What? An entire leaving the country?
Sheila,
but
mean,
guys,
I value the country.
It's frustrating. It really, really, really is frustrating.
We are not closing this country.
Not now.
That time will benefit Lopume Deben because of this country. This country enabled you to go to Deben.
And on a Mali, Yorkshire Pays are.
Also enabled you not to come on air on Friday. And you also had a lot of money. This country has done so much. Ask Kotolene Gangane, stay in the dark just for a few minutes. But here we are.
Bona makika is 7. And for 6,000 for the petrol.
But he's not complaining. He's not saying shut down the country.
Yeah, I ain't complaining because this country... This country, even with all the problems and the drama, has enabled me to come and work in Rosebank.
Preach. Oh.
Parktown North.
Thank
Rosebank.
You.
Young smart.
Make it make sense. Make sense. With Ayanda Nyati. If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.